Welcome to the KBB Review podcast. I'm your host, Andy Davis, and this is the last episode of Season 11, so you can all bring games in, and this afternoon we'll watch Moana. We've actually got a couple of very interesting bits for you today. First up, we're going to talk about manifestos. We all know there's going to be a general election this year, so if you were running for Prime Minister, what would be in your manifesto? It's one of those questions with thousands of possible answers, depending on who you are and what you believe. For example, I would have a tax cut on Maltesers, an outright ban on dogs you can carry in one hand, and compulsory imprisonment for anyone who says pacifically when they mean specifically. And of course, I'd also have the return of the death penalty, but only for anyone who cheats in pub quizzes by saying they're going to the toilet, but they're really just looking up answers on their phone. While we were at the KBB show, we took the opportunity to ask this question, but to avoid everyone falling out, we kept it very specifically to this. If you were running for Prime Minister, what would you have in your manifesto to help business? So, to kick us off here is Najib Malouf, the president of the Middleby Corporation, the owner of Rangemaster, Arga, Novi and Lacornu. Over to you, Najib.
The ideal thing is to have this value chain, the supply chain, be closer to home. The closer, the better. And I would love to see an ecosystem of suppliers that feed our plants in the UK be in the UK. That would be ideal. And I would love to see, if you want to ask me what aspirations I have from governments, that's my aspirations. Could they encourage an ecosystem of parts supply, really, that feed this industry? The appliance industry. Why not? I would love for politicians to look at what we did really here. What happened to Rangemaster? Everyone else exited, and this is Rangemaster. They invested millions and millions and millions. We bet really the future of this company on the investment, which means on the intelligence of our people and on the long-term return on this investment. And we heard the dealers, and I'm sure the dealers will take that excitement, that belief in Rangemaster to the customers. Could we scale that? So I'm not talking theories. I did it, and I would love to see others. I would love to see the government recognize this. I don't care what color. I'm not in politics. But either one or, I don't know, whoever becomes the leader, could they see this? Could they say, okay, let's do more? Here's this company that is reinvesting in British manufacturing over here. So it's safeguarding jobs for this country. It believes in its people. Could we do more? And the objective is to scale. So we want to develop the American market. We want that market to become the biggest market for Rangemaster made products. That's what I aspire to see. I want them to steer some investments again to help me and help others. But they could look at this reality, the investment. I would welcome them really at the new Rangemaster factory, which will become one of the most sophisticated plants really in the appliance business by the end of the year. Please let them come in and see the plant.
Sharia from Sheraton Interiors in Richmond. I think our business is directly linked to the housing market. So, you know, I would urge the Prime Minister, if I was Prime Minister, I would be trying to massage the housing market and make sure that it's picking up again and it's reaching the levels it did either post-COVID or pre-COVID. Because at the moment, the taps are off from the banks, planning permission, etc. is low. And the housing market is stale, to be frank. So there's a big chunk of that missing from your normal inquiries that you would be getting. However, what I have found is the lower end of the market seems to be suffering more than the mid to top end of the market. And then you've got the top end of the market, i.e. Wigmore Street, etc., that also seems to be suffering. So it's that middle ground where, you know, you can still perform and get good figures and achieve growth.
Luke Harding, Electrolux. I think I would just ensure that everyone in government understands the importance that small business plays in this country. I think sometimes we underplay the importance of small business. We underplay the importance of the high street. We underplay the importance of independent retailers that still give that personal service, that really, really good consultative service to consumers. Yeah, I think it's understanding what the function the high street's going to play in the UK, and then understanding again, as I said before, the importance of small business in this country, absolutely critical to the economy.
Dan from Jones Brick & Kitchens. We're based in Sussex, on the Kent-Sussex border, very close to Tunbridge Wells. For me personally, I think we need a reduction in VAT. I think that solves a massive, massive problem. I've got a friend who's in the hairdressing industry and they're really, really struggling. And the VAT they have to pay and the taxes they pay on employees is crippling the industry. The retail industry on the high street is falling substantially. It's a big, big problem. And I think VAT for the retail sector would solve that. Back down to 17.5% or 15% if we could, I think would make a massive difference. So that would be in my manifesto.
The company's Capel. My name's Danny Lay. Businesses specifically, they need to drop interest rates. And also, I think businesses are being taxed too highly personally. I think if you look at the Irish market, our business in Ireland is up 45% this year. Yeah. And they run a very, very different, well, they have a different attitude to the way they tax businesses. Their taxation rates are much lower than ours. And it's very difficult to invest in your business when the government's taking a quarter of that of your profits away in tax. I'm not anti-tax, I'm just... if you're successful, don't tax success. Yeah.
So I'm Michael Hardwick, UK Business Director for ASCO. I always have to say what feels like some feedback that I'm hearing is just the actual cost of, the physical cost of running a business, the business rates, rents, it's forcing a lot of fantastic independent retailers out of the potential to be operating in towns and market towns and cities. My background in the outdoor and ski industry and cycling industry, that's seen a huge impact of retailers that have frankly had no option but to close due to, in part, the actual physical cost of running a business. It's just making it easier for independent retailers to physically operate, making it as beneficial and an actual possibility for it to do.
So I'm David Morris, I'm Sales Director of MHK UK. I think the biggest challenge we have as retailers is the skill shortage of installers. And we're talking to Damien Walters. We're sponsors of BIC B. We have a training academy in Germany for installers. It's like a huge area because they have the same problems. But it's like there's two bits to it because we're actually also interested in the installers who their knees are gone, they're 50 years old or whatever, and they're looking for the next career move. And that might be a showroom. So we're interested in the ones coming out at the top, but we need to feed into the bottom. We need more training.
Hi, I'm Neil Clark, and the Managing Director of Frankie UK. That is a very good question. I think if I was the Prime Minister, if I was in government, I'd certainly be concerned about the damage that interest rates are doing to the economy. So I think it's something that, I get it. It's there to control inflation, but ultimately the way you control inflation is by stifling demand. I think there are different ways of doing this, and I think that if the government was able to reduce interest rates and just put a little bit of money back into people's pockets, then that's certainly going to help. A lot of it's about consumer confidence, and there is definitely a lack of confidence at the moment. It's improving, but it's still not there. And I'm sure the government could certainly help with interest rates would be my focus. It's interesting when you talk to people who have connections with government departments, everything is on pause. It's very much the case that nobody wants to make decisions at the moment. Things aren't moving forward. And I guess there's probably a view from the party in power that they don't want to do anything that might benefit the party that's going to potentially come into power after the election. So which is a pity because, that is damaging to the economy.
Richard Sloan, Sonus Bathrooms.
Well, I suppose, look, increasing consumer spend, they're, improving their capacity to spend would also be helpful. So, could they have a look at VAT rates on building materials, for people to incentivise home refurbishment? Is there any, additional supports that they can offer for people to retrofit their homes, to make their homes more efficient? Could you give additional incentives around sustainable products that consume less water, consume less energy, which ultimately all feeds into, lower utility bills? I think there probably just needs to be a greater focus centrally from government on home improvement, encourage people to maintain their homes, but give them some incentive and some support. What about the stock that's out there already and how much of that could be improved and brought back to life and enhanced and extended or refurbished? So, that market probably overall is far more resilient in the long term because there's such a big stock of housing and people who, take the decision to renovate will generally look to try and put a good quality product in, but we could certainly get some support from government around VAT and stuff like that. That would probably help.
Thank you to everyone who took time to answer there. Tax and interest rates were the main thrusts, I think, and I suspect that's pretty much what all business leaders are telling all sides of the political spectrum right now. And Neil Clark's point is very valid too. No one is making decisions about anything until that election takes place. Right, from Prime Minister to Primetime TV, Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen made an appearance at the KBB show supporting Capel. We've just heard from the MD, Danny Lay, of course. So KBB Review editor Rebecca Nottingham caught up with Lawrence to hear his views on kitchen and bathroom design. Warning, this next interview contains flamboyance.
I am Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen, yes, that one, off the telly, and I am delighted to be on the KBB podcast.
Amazing outfit, which I would have expected, but I'm very
pleased. Well, I read something that said the stripes are slimming, so I just threw as many stripes on as possible. Someone accused me of looking like a deck chair. I like that.
I like it. It would be lovely to get your impression of design in the KBB show in Birmingham.
Yeah.
What's your impression of design in the kitchen and bathroom?
So, I mean, I haven't been to the show for about 12 or 13 years. So I had a kind of a vision of an industry that was all about big foreign names, that was about very industrialized design. But I'm astonished this year by just how creative, just how thoughtful, just how design orientated, and actually just how colorful the kitchen industry has become. And I think this is amazing, because when I can remember last time I was here, I was giving talks on trends and forecasts. And I can remember saying at the time, you know, you will be bringing color into the kitchen, because the kitchen is the most important living room in the house. You know, it's where everybody congregates. It's no longer just about cooking. And I think 10 years ago, there was that obsession with making machines to cook it. Everything was very industrialized. Yeah. Everything was very Germanic. Everything was as shiny as Brunhilde's breastplate, you know. And it was all very intimidating and very kind of modern and very kind of concept. Now, it's about softness, it's about texture, it's about decoration, it's about natural materials. It's about technology, which is being used in a very discreet way. So now we've got these incredible induction hobs that can be surfaces, we've got extracts that can be very neatly incorporated. The look before was very much shouting about that very contemporary innovation and about that engineering. Now it's much more about the heart and soul of the home, and I think that's incredible. This is one of the things that's really blown me away about Capel. I mean, this extraordinary brand, British, local for us in the Cotswolds, family-orientated, family-run, hold stock.
Yeah,
all the creates their own thing. All of these enormous benefits. This stand has been so ridiculously busy with people who are just blown away by seeing design being used so thoughtfully and creatively to make people's homes feel better. Not to give people a kitchen, but to make their kitchen space feel like it is absolutely the background to a busy family unit.
Yeah, innovation and technology is extremely important in the kitchen, because functionality is key. But aesthetics are as important, aren't they?
Aesthetics have taken over. The aesthetic is now no longer the slave to the technology. Before, the aesthetic was the technology. And I think, in fact, one of the best parallels is you know, it's not in the kitchen at all, it's in the living room. That 20 years ago, televisions were enormous. They were like that big monolith at the beginning of 2010 of A Space Odyssey. Now, they're a picture above the fireplace, or they're a mirror. Now, they are the slave to the design. And so what's happened, and I think this is where Capel have really got it right, they've used the technology in such an incredibly quiet way to make the room work so much better. But the first thing you do is you go into a kitchen now and you think, what a lovely room.
Wow, yes.
You know, you don't go, oh, wow, this is looks like it works. Because why would you want that? You know, the vast majority of Brits now, the kitchen is not only the most important living space, it's often the biggest. You know, people are knocking through, they're incorporating dining rooms, it becomes a morning room. So you do not want that space to be overpowered by very Germanic concepts of engineering and nuts and bolts of instruction.
I think as well, like, there's a nice blend of styles now, because, like you say...
Blend of styles is very important, because everybody's become so design literate that they want to make their own expression. They want something very individual, they want something that reflects them. And one of the big things that everybody in the design industry needs to understand is that is extremely important. The people now want to make their own choices. Social media, Instagram, have been incredibly instrumental in this. They're very, very much driven this idea that people do something of their own, they post it, everyone likes it. So actually now, trends, in inverted commas, or fashions, or modes, or whatever, they're not coming from the top. They're not coming from overpaid, overdressed designers like me. I'm not telling people what to do. Actually, people are doing it themselves, and then posting it on Instagram, and that is moving the market forward.
Yeah.
So particularly with something like a kitchen, you've got to give people a palette of opportunities, a palette of colours, palette of looks. You've got to give people a whole series of different choices so that they create, in a way that you would with a recipe, they create something that very much reflects their personal taste.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, gosh, yeah, going back 10 years ago, it was all about the white kitchen, wasn't it? And now it's like...
And then it became a grey kitchen.
Yay!
Colourful.
So any particular standout features that you've seen at KBB? Because obviously one of the questions I was going to ask was, what had this changed your perception of design in the industry?
No, I'm really heartened by this. I'm really pleased I came. And I now feel suddenly... And I think, actually, funnily enough, it's another one of these things that we Brits have actually rather led with, because certainly the international exhibitions that I have been to and the European exhibitions, they're still really stuck in that kind of actually quite 90s mindset of what kitchen design should be. Trust the Brits to actually start making
make
more of a living
change.
Room. Really, and that's such an important phrase, living room, because it is about all the living happening in the one area.
Yeah.
And actually, funnily enough, it sounds like a modern idea, but I don't think it is. I think actually you go back kind of pre-modern, you go back before the 20th century. In most ordinary houses, the kitchen was somewhere that everybody congregated because it's where the fire was.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's where the heat was. It's where the heart was.
Yeah.
So we're now incarnating that. We're revivifying that idea. But using modernity, using the technology we now have at our fingertips to make it work so much better.
So I know you said celebrity is kind of a dirty word, but...
It's not dirty, it's a cheap word.
A cheap word.
You know, when I said to my mother that 30 years ago that I was trying out for this new television show, I said, what, you're going to be on television? So that's not very gentlemanly. I went, yeah, you're right, it's not really.
But I'm going to bring gentlemanly to the television.
Well, either that or I'm going to spend 30 years trying to be sacked, which I have. It's still not worked.
Well, look, I mean...
Another way everyone goes on about cancel culture. I've tried everything and no one's cancelled me.
Well, thank goodness they haven't, look, because that's why you're here. And I mean,
I think the thing is, I think, and this is something that I think is quite important. And actually, it's really nice being here, actually, because you get people who think, can I have a selfie? And it's sort of like, it must be really weird being a celebrity. It's sort of like, well, yeah, but actually, fundamentally, I am a designer. And in fact, yeah, okay, we're getting a selfie, but you're getting a selfie with a bloke in your industry that happens to be on television as well.
Yeah.
And that actually, you know, I've been doing it for 30 years. I've probably inspired you. I've probably been, you know, with you on that journey.
Yeah.
Maybe I've repulsed you, which has forced you into becoming a designer to stop everything that I hold holy, even better.
Yeah, but like it or not, it did set the ball rolling.
No,
it did create
and
the
I think
industry.
One of the difficulties with the kitchen design world, and indeed the bathroom design world, is that they are very expensive rooms.
Yes.
And they're quite inflexible rooms. You know, once you've done it, you can't move it around. You can't really do furniture for there. And there are also rooms that people get bullied on, particularly by estate agents, because of this whole concept of resale. But one of the big things that's happened recently is that people have suddenly worked out that, yeah, okay, where you live, it is the most important investment in your life, but it's also the biggest emotional investment in your life. So the way your kitchen looks, that is going to be the background to everything big that happens. Every birth, every marriage, every death happens, and there's that kitchen behind it. Is that going to be the white thing that everybody else has got, or is it going to be the pink thing, or the orange thing, or the brown thing, or the grey thing, or the thing that it should be? And actually, that's absolutely what's happening. I think that's, again, so I think this is what's really great about this show and about the industry at the moment, is that these are manufacturers, these are retailers, these are builders who are really understanding that and being brave enough to turn their design volume knobs up. And that's what we need. We need people to now be looking at stuff that they just go, wow, gosh, that's really new, that's really different. We need to stop patronizing the customer and believing that they can't cope with something. So, oh no, they'd never cope with that kind of color. Bollocks!
Yeah.
They love the color. Show them the colour.
Also, I think what's helped drive that in the last few years is COVID, you know.
COVID was amazing for that, because it trapped people in rooms. You know, they decorated a home. It didn't really matter. They were at work. They were whatever. You know, they were never there. The fact that it was all grey and it had those three bloody pebbles from IKEA as a print didn't matter. But when you're stuck there for months on end, there's nothing to do.
Yeah.
It doesn't reflect you. Meanwhile, you can get some paint, you can get some wallpaper delivered, you can go up into the attic and get Granny's china out of a trunk. You can do things, and so people did stuff, and that's when social media really took over. So they would do something, it was Instagrammed, and these are... So when you Instagram a beige room, it looks pants, it looks like a mush. When you Instagram a room which has got an olive green wall and a pink sofa and an orange lampshade, it looks incredible.
Yeah.
So suddenly everybody's really buying into it. So that is the thing, that's the thing that that really tipped the British away from safety. That's the thing that made the British understand how much fun it is to be a little bit daring, you know, to actually not worry about what a student film might say if they came around selling, but actually to just go, I don't really care, this is me, you know, and I've got to be me. Because, okay, yes, selling it is important, but by that stage, ate it, Magnolia, who cares, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Just don't spend 10, 15 years living in grey, because in 15 years you're going to sell it.
I mean, obviously, there's a lot of good design here, but you know, should you get good design at all budget levels? Is that very important?
Budget is incredibly important because, actually, it's really easy to hide behind Norton price tag, as far as I'm concerned. It's something I've never done. I mean, I love what Dolce & Gabbana are doing with kitchens. You know, they're putting Sicilian prints on fridges, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Love that. No, yeah. I'm going to do that. I do that. You know, it's great. But, actually... This country has always been about democratic design. Everywhere else, it's about the incredible rich elite that create Versailles or, you know, do the haute couture in Paris or whatever. We're not there. We are all about the high street. We are all about the middle class having what they want and how they want it. And so I've never, ever, ever wanted to make things expensive. And in fact, in a way, that's my trade-off with everyone. I'm saying to you all, I'm never going to be expensive, but you've got to understand I've got to really, you know, I'm going to shake your pants, yeah. You know, and that's important.
Yeah, yeah. Important. And I think, you know, we've seen that with a lot of brands.
Are you shaking your pants?
No, not yet, anyway.
Well,
but no,
really?
We've seen it.
We've been talking for, well, like half an hour, and your pants haven't shaken yet.
I think, God.
Everybody else.
You can't print that.
You can tell. I feel as if I've failed.
I mean, look, just to sort of summarise, I've gone red now.
I know, it's a lovely colour. I think it's very directional for kitchen design. I think... Can we take a colour reference from Rebecca's cheek? I think it's very, very comely. It's very, very lovely.
No, you had some brilliant things to say about the industry, which is fantastic. But anything that you think is missing design-wise or what would you like to see come through?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Moving forward.
Okay, I'll tell you exactly. Now, this is why I'm really enjoying Capel. This is why I've got my own range of kitchens coming out later in the year.
Oh, wow.
There needs to be even more. What I don't want... is for there to be a little kind of incremental moment where, you know, people are putting a toe in the water. That's the word I hate. You know, that is not the expression for who we are. There needs to be daring in all of this because daring is exciting. Daring moves stuff forward. It's about momentum and it's about getting more names into it. So it's lovely we've got Dolce & Gabbana. As I say, I'm going to be coming in. You know, I want more of that. You know, why haven't we got Alexander McQueen kitchens? You know, why? Let's really do some... You know, why haven't we got Rolls-Royce kitchens? You know, let's do some really exciting, you know, unusual things.
Well,
why
haven't
we got Spearmint Rhino kitchens?
A lot of pan-shaking going on.
Not pan-shaking going on there. Pool in the middle of the island unit, obviously.
And on that note... We'll leave it there. Thank you so much for your time, Lawrence. It was really wonderful to meet you.
Lawrence Lowland-Bowen there, talking to KBB Review editor Rebecca Nottingham. And it's easy to think of celebrity designers as lacking in substance, but I thought he really hit the nail on the head of so many things there. It was a sort of design manifesto, which clumsily ties all this episode together. Sort of. As I said, this was the last episode of Season 11. I know, flown by, but we'll be back in a few weeks' time with Season 12. I'll see you then.